Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101. Today, this very day, right now, we have a very special episode on not only the history of Sacha Baron Cohen, but also the Borat origin story. Where did he come from? He's now in a new movie. Whoa! But before we jump into the episode, first and foremost, remember, get out there and vote. This might be our last episode before the apocalypse, but be sure to get out there and vote. Also, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcast, or on our site, comedyhistory101.com. Also, get this, we have a new Patreon page. Yes, patreon.com/CH101, where you could support Comedy History 101 so we can buy some new microphones and keep cranking out the episodes that you love. Yes, why not do it? Just a dollar or two a month, we could buy some coffee and new microphones. Also, tonight, October 30th, 8 p.m., Eastern Time, I will be live streaming my show, The Muff, a parody show of The Moth. And you can check that out on twitch.tv/comedyhistory101. And now, without further ado.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
14 years ago, I released a movie film which brought great shame to Kazakhstan. But now I was instructed to return to Yankee Land to carry out secret mission.
I go to America!
Borat! What do you say? No, it's not me.
Borat, come back!
People make recognize my face. I would need disguises.
Okay, we got it, right?
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, okay. We got it. So what you heard there was the trailer for the new Borat movie. Borat subsequential. Scott, say it for me, please.
Borat subsequent movie film.
Which was originally titled Borat's Gift of Porn... Why can't I speak today?
Borat's Gift of Pornographic Monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence to make benefit recently diminished nation of Kazakhstan.
Which was the original title. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me, yes, as always, Scott Kalanico. Scott, what did you think of the Borat sequel?
Very nice. I like.
Did you think I like?
I like.
Not.
Are we criticizing the movie now or later?
I think we'll maybe go into our deep dive into what we thought, compare the two Borats, 14 years apart between the two. You thought there's no way that Borat can make a sequel because probably everyone in the world knows who Borat is. Well, 14 years later, yes, he made a sequel.
Yes.
And if do you want to know my sort of
Let's hear it.
Cheesy trailer would have been? Okay, right. So I'm doing the voiceover for the trailer, and it'd be Borat's back, and this time he's brought his daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So just, I know we'll get into this later, but to me, it was a little bit of Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah, I haven't seen Blues Brothers, BB2K, I remember as they called it. Back in the day. Well, you know, it's kind of that always, I think that's always a bad sign when like a movie has a sequel and then Well, the first bad sign if there's somebody on the movie poster with sunglasses, but they're tipping them down their nose and looking over the sunglasses at you. That's usually bad sign number one.
Was Borat's daughter tipping his?
No,
her
he
sunglasses?
Wasn't. But bad sign number two is when they bring in somebody's kid, kind of like they did with the Bill and Ted sequel that came out this year as well.
Oh yeah, they brought in their kids.
Yep, and that's just, well, guy just
that's just like a marketing thing because like we gotta bring in the tweens.
Yeah.
We gotta market to the tweens. So we gotta bring in the younger character, the teenage character.
Yeah. That was kind of weak. And then I noticed, I remember I watched the credits and I noticed there were fucking, there were like literally, there were like six or seven writers on this thing.
There was more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one, Jenna Friedman, who has been on my show Tale numerous times. So
oh really? Good to see. So we should. So they got, we better not talk bad about the movie then.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was, they got a lot of people from like backgrounds of like Daily Show and Colbert and that kind of sketch comedy. Yeah. And well, first of all, we're gonna dive into just a brief kind of origin story of both Sacha Baron Cohen and the Borat character, but it just seemed like the directing wasn't as good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give my quick overall. We'll get into this later. But like,
We'll get into this later. We're going to roll up our sleeves.
I heard so many things about it, and then, you know, I watched it, and then I was like, okay, my first thought was it wasn't as bad as I was expecting. That was my number one thought.
I just think if you didn't know Borat 1 and you had to look at all the movies that are coming out. I mean, we're putting this at a Borat like bar level. That's why.
But I still, you know, I actually laughed out loud a few times. We'll get into that. But the one thing, there's the thing that really confused me is that number one, it was too long. It was an hour and a half, and there was no need because they're not releasing this in the theaters, so they don't have to like stick to a movie release time, you know. Schedule, you know, because if you put a movie in the theater, it has to be, you know, between a certain amount of time so they can, you know, the theaters can make money. And this was just going straight to on the Amazon or wherever. So I don't know why they felt compelled to make it that long. Like if they literally just made it like an hour, I think it would have been way more compact and, you know, a lot of less dead space.
Right. I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, I think they were maybe hoping that theaters would be open, but, you know, again, not too sure, but then again, it's like, you know.
No, you're right. Okay, I get it. That makes total sense. Yeah. Okay.
So, Scott, are you ready to get into, what do you call the Wayback Machine? What is our trademark kind of time machine portal?
The Comedy Central.
Oh, no, that's already copywritten.
No, not Comedy Central. The comedy history historic.
Yeah. Wayback Machine.
I don't know. No, you can't call. You can't say
time,
way back.
Time portal.
No, you can't
comedy
say
comedy history time portal. How about CH101?
Don't
time
say DeLorean.
DeLorean.
Yeah. Okay.
So Scott, who is Sacha Baron Cohen? And second question, does he himself really know? Ah, oh, because he plays so many characters.
Oh, that's right. He might lose himself like Jim Carrey did in. In the
Andy and Me
Without the Moon, yeah, whatever that was.
Yeah, that documentary, which you can hear the back episode here on Comedy History 101. Subscribe today.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
So where did Sacha Baron Cohen come from, Scott? Did he grow up here in America?
No. Oh, heavens no, Harmon. Harmon, Sacha Baron Cohen is a British actor and is a comedian. He was born actually in Hammersmith, London. I knew some French people when I was living in London for a while, and they would always say Hammersmith. So that's all I can think of when I hear is Hammersmith now.
And the famous Hammersmith Odeon is Hammersmith.
I've seen it. Yeah, it was there. Sacha Baron Cohen was the son of a movement instructor, which I guess is kind of like a gymnast or some kind of dancer or something, and a clothing store owner. This is interesting. His father was born in England, but he was raised in Wales. He was of Eastern European Jewish descent, while his mother was born in Israel to German Jewish parents. So he's a bit of a mutt there, a European Israeli mutt.
And I found this interesting. His grandmother was a trained ballet dancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, his older brother, Aaron, composes the music for a lot of his projects, including the Borat movie.
Nice.
So, like many great British comedians, Sacha Baron Cohen went on to go to Cambridge, and he joined the Cambridge Footlights, who are some of the alumni of comedy history that also were part of the Cambridge Footlights.
Or people that we might have talked about here in comedy
exactly.
Comedy History 101, which you can also support us on Patreon. Yeah,
page. We'll get onto that later.
I'll name a few. Well, there might have been there is.
Do it like a song.
Okay. John Cleese, Eric Idle, Jam Chaplin, Peter Cook, Germaine Greer, Emma Thompson, Stephen Fry, Hugh Lowy, Tony Slattery, Nick Hickok, Sacha Baron Cohen, of course, Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Sue Perkins, Clive James, David Baddiel, Neil Mullarkey, Griff Rees Jones, Clive Anderson, and Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams. I did not know Douglas Adams.
Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy, and I do believe he had a part in... Somehow he was connected to the Monty Python series.
He wrote some of the episodes on like the last season, or he was a writer on there.
Yeah, here. So here's something interesting. Scott, both you and I have been to the Edinburgh Festival, being that I used to perform there back. Scott, there used to be a time when we performers would go in front of real people in packed rooms, mere feet away, and perform.
Really? Whoa, we should do a podcast about. We should do an episode about that.
Yeah. So at the Edinburgh Festival every year, there always be the Cambridge Footlights and the Oxford Review, and there's they have such a history of famous comedians coming out of it, and those are always like such a disappointment to comedy fans because it never lives up to their history. But when Sacha Baron Cohen was at Cambridge, we have a photo which we'll put on our site. There's a photo of him, and he's with Olivia Colman, who we know from where, Scott?
I don't know where.
A little show called Peep Show, which we've talked about here.
Ah, okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, yep. Sophie, an Oscar winner. Olivia Colman, but formerly Sophie from one of our favorite British comedy shows, Peep Show, and also Rachel Weisz, who was in, was it The Constant Gardener?
Yeah, Constant Gardener, and also came to my first screening at Sundance.
No one, get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, actually, I knew who she was, and she asked me where the theater was, and she was going to my screening.
Nice, dude. Nice. Yeah. And so there's this great photo of them from Cambridge, and they're just all kind of a bunch of college kids who all kind of went on to do great things in theater. But Scott, where did Sacha Baron Cohen really get his chops? I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with schmance.
Would it be someplace
rhymes with Maris Smance?
Would it be somewhere that Mary Lewis might be hanging out in?
Where Mary Lewis might be considered a comedy god?
A genius, yeah.
Yes, you've guessed it correctly. Paris, France, where I believe, did he drop out of Cambridge, Sacha Baron Cohen?
That's what we've seen in our notes here.
And if you're a listener, please feel free to correct us.
Okay, keep going. I'll fact check this.
Yeah, so he went on to the Ecole Philippe Galliere and studied under Master Clown, Philippe Galliere, who he's like one of those legendary, like kind of clown pantomime sort of teachers.
Yeah, I guess
The TV show Baskets with Zach Galifianakis, I think that's kind of like when he went off to France to study. That's the kind of clown school that Sacha Baron Cohen went in. And Galliere said of Sacha Baron Cohen, he was a good clown, full of spirit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
While, yeah, on the other hand, Sacha Baron Cohen said of Gallier, without him, I really do doubt whether I would have any success in my field.
All right, so I see here, on the I'm on the Christ College Cambridge alumni page, and it has Sacha Baron Cohen, and it says that he matriculated in 1990. So apparently he did graduate.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. And, oh, here he wrote his dissertation on the American Civil Rights Movement, too, which kind of ties into his other new film, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, which was about the around the terminal era of the Civil Rights Movement and the Vietnam War.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, I went down. So Sacha Baron Cohen did graduate, so we've confirmed that now. I was double-checking, Dad. I got to be the fact-checker here.
Yeah, so after leaving university and clown school, what briefly did Sacha Baron take up as a career? I'll give you a hint. It sounds like Maschenfadel.
Yeah, Maschenfadel. But here's a
it's fashion model.
On the subject, while we're on the subject, apparently his dad was kind of rich. He was a millionaire. Sacha Baron Cohen's father.
Yeah, I think that's another comedy episode we should do as well, because it's like there's like a lot of people, like half of the first cast of Saturday Night Live that came from just crazy wealthy families. Like Gilda Radner's dad was like an auto executive, and as we talked about, Christopher Guest, what was his father?
He was a lord. He's a member of the House of Lords, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people from comedy, just from these crazy... And Chevy Chase, I think.
Chevy Chase, of course, yeah.
But we digress. So, just to touch on a point about Sacha Baron Cohen, that he non-ironically worked as a fashion model, he would bring back those memories to what character? Bruno.
Bruno, everyone's favorite gay Austrian.
You're stupid. Everybody's
so Scott, we've briefly talked about some of the early career highlights of Sacha Baron Cohen in our previous episode on his TV show, Who is America? Which, that was pretty funny. That had its moments.
Yeah.
You keep it to a half hour, you know, you hit him with the hard punches. You get on out of there.
You hit him hard and you leave.
Yeah, so basically... Sacha Baron Cohen hosted Pump TV from 1995 to 1996. And if you look, like, I did a deep dive into, like, past TV clips. He was a guy who was kind of always on the British TV comedy scene from, you know, 1995 and onward. You know, and we really only started hearing about him, I believe his HBO series was in 2002-ish, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. 2000, I remember watching it in like 2004, 2005.
But a couple funny early things he did was a film in 2000 called The Jolly Boys Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Have
yeah,
you checked out that trailer?
I watched a bit of the trailer, which also features Gollum from Lord of the Rings, Andy Serkis.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. I watched the trailer yesterday. In a very funny advert he did in 2000, he played the role of Super Greg in a Lee Jeans ad that never aired. Did you check that one out?
No, I stay away from Lee Jeans. I don't agree.
Yeah, he kind of was like a character that was a cross between. He had like Borat's eyebrows and sort of Ali G mannerisms. It was pretty funny. It never aired, but it became an internet sensation. Also, a very funny appearance of him in an Amstel Light commercial, which you can find on YouTube.
That, yes.
And also when he was like host of like, say, Granada TV and Pump TV, it's just strange of just seeing him being just a straight up like regular host.
Yeah, just like normal.
And so the origin of early Borat came from short skits on F2F, I think it was called, on Granada TV, which he presented in 1996 to 1997. And he started off doing a character called Alexei Krikler.
Who was from Moldova.
Oh, he said he got the origin of the Borat character when he was vacationing in Astrakhan.
Astrakhan, yeah.
Am I butchering the name of that?
That sounds close.
Yeah, so it was a Jewish doctor that he encountered in that country, and that's who he mimicked for his character, Alexei Krikler. As you said, a reporter from Moldova who had trouble understanding the British culture.
Yes.
So there's a clip. There's a clip from that F2F TV show, and I put it in the Google Doc, and at minute 19, you can see our friend, comedian Brendan Burns, on the show.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Nice.
Yeah, so again, it's just like the British comedy community is just so... small.
Yeah, it's, well, it's small.
You go to college with Sophie from Peep Show, and then there's Brendan Burns on an early Sacha Baron Cohen TV show.
It's very compact. That's the thing. I mean, it's just like they talk about like you know, in the United States, you're always talking about having to go to either New York or L.A. to hit it big. You know, which used to be, you know, that's a fucking, you know, 2-day drive or something. And in the UK, you can take a train to London. You know, for a couple hours. If it doesn't work out, just take the next train back.
Yeah, and just London, or you're up in Manchester, hanging with the Happy Mondays and seeing Steve Coogan eating at a chippy.
Yeah.
So how did the Borat character evolve out of the character Alex Krikler?
Well, later on, he became somebody, he morphed into, there was a show called BBC Two's Comedy Nation, where Sacha Baron Cohen appeared again, and now he kind of redid the character, who is now known as Christo Shibkikari. And this Christo, as opposed to being Moldavian, claimed to be from Albania, and this character is actually pretty close to being Borat.
Yeah, it was all except he had just like normal hair. Normal hair and sort of a normal mustache.
Yeah.
And just his suit wasn't as ill-fitting. But again, it's like you're watching the evolution of the Borat character through these early TV appearances.
Right, exactly.
But what happened, though, what sidelined Borat for a while, his character, Ali G. What do you know of Ali G.? Is he in the house?
He is in the house. Yeah, dude. I actually enjoyed the Ali G movie. I've seen it.
with Martin Friedman from The Office in Lord of the Rings.
The Office. Yep.
Yeah, so the Ali G persona got picked up by Channel 4's The 11 O'Clock Show. And that in itself spun off into The Ali G Show, which was on Channel 4 in the UK. And so that kind of became the big craze where... he would do Borat just kind of as a secondary character, but all of UK was going Ali G crazy.
Yeah, the princes were dressed as Ali G for Halloween one year.
Was it Harry that year he dressed as a Nazi?
I don't remember, but if you look, you can look him. Maybe we'll put a picture on the website on the comedyhistory101.com. But yeah, there's a picture. He's dressed up like Ali G.
Yeah, and from there, Ali G came to America and was picked up by HBO. And on the HBO show, you know, essentially he would just do the three characters. He would do Ali G, he would do Borat, and he would do Bruno.
Right.
It's kind of weird, though. He just had, like, three characters.
The show worked. Well, they did some hilarious when they did the because I remember that's kind of how I first really got into the characters and Sacha Baron Cohen on the HBO show. But a lot of that was he would do these panel discussions, and that was some of the funniest parts of the show when he would have, because these guys, he'd have all these experts on, and they would think they were in a real panel discussion. They would have all these, and they would make the point of bringing in all these. Like, they'd bring in like an atheist on religion. They'd bring in like an atheist, and then like a Satanist, and then like a super Christian guy, and then they'd kind of just like start going at each other.
Yeah, and Ali G was such a funny character. He's just so stupid.
Yeah.
Kind of like the definition of irony, though, is the all-knowing fool. Yeah. So he was, you know, stupid, but, you know, Sacha Baron himself is the all-knowing fool in that scenario. I remember I used to have to get Ali G shows from the UK. There was a video store in San Francisco called Lost Weekend Video, and they would get all the UK like TV shows, like that's where I first saw, would get like Peep Show and stuff like that. And they had it dubbed from Powell, all these like, I guess that's illegal pretty much. But then again, there's no more video stores, but that's where I would go and rent my Ali G episodes.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
So what happened from there, Scott? What happened from the HBO success? Was that the end of Borat?
Oh, heavens. Oh, Harmon. Why do you always ask me questions like that? Of course not. No, it wasn't. So the next step, once you have a successful TV show in America, the next step is to make a movie. So that's when, in 2006, we were gifted with the feature-length movie just featuring Borat, entitled Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Yeah, did that do all right? Did anyone watch it?
Yeah, I think a few people watched that one, dude. I don't know you keep talking, I'll get the box office on that.
Let's see. So he ended up winning the 2007 Golden Globe Award for Best Actor. Sacha Baron Cohen did. And the screenplay was nominated for Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, so the original Borat did so the budget on the original Borat was $18 million, and it did $262.6 million. So that's not too shabby.
Again, is like, I think that when that hit the scene, that just kind of blew people's minds, that movie.
Yeah, well, I still think, I mean, this is the appropriate forum to have this discussion, but I still think that he should have at least... As much as I hate the Academy Awards, I think he should have been nominated, because he kind of like, that is, for me, that's a definition of acting, where he went into like a real situation and fooled people. He acted, quote unquote, well enough to where these people believed he was that character. And so I'm thinking, you know, but it's kind of poo-pooed because he's being funny. But to me, that was fucking acting, you know?
Or improv acting.
Acting.
Yeah. No, it was great. I mean, there's no qualms about the first Borat. Just a few little trivia things. The language which he spoke in the Borat movies is a mixture of Hebrew and Israeli slang.
And apparently that's what he was doing. Like, especially you'd notice this a lot on the HBO TV show when he's taking notes, and he'd be taking notes in, he'd be writing his notes in Hebrew, so it kind of looked Cyrillic.
Oh, you did like a screen grab of his notes?
No, I read that as a trivia somewhere too.
Yeah, and to kind of reel in the people to get them to participate in the Borat movie, they set up a fake production company called One America Productions and contacted people to say a foreign correspondent is making a film about American life.
Yeah, that was on the TV show, I think, in England. I'm pretty sure they did this in the U.S. too. They would say, for the Ali G, they would say that he was making a kid's TV show. Because, you know, he's supposed to be, he's talking to the kids.
Voice of the youth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, God, Ali G. There should have been, I know you like Ali G in the house, which I thought was, like, kind of a little bit weak. But they should have done the Borat treatment with Ali G in a movie.
I mean, it's weak when they try to, when they have to inject these plots into these things.
Yeah. So Scott, that brings us up to present day. We saw, you know, this month, the release of the new Borat movie. Now we get into it.
All right, let's go.
All right. So let's compare the two.
Me and Harmon are in the balcony. I've been watching old Siskel and Ebert TV episodes. Like, we're in the balcony, Harmon.
Really? Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, oh yeah, you can watch them. They'd go sit in the balcony and they'd argue.
So, Scott, what do you think, where did it succeed or where did it fall short?
Okay, here's the first thing. Like I said, I up front, I talked about, you know, what I thought, like how primed I was for it to not be good, and I did laugh a few times. Here's the thing that first threw me off about it, though. The very first thing I noticed was that it seems like Sacha Baron Cohen kind of forgot how to do his Borat accent, because now it seemed like somebody else doing a bad Borat impression.
Oh yeah,
his talking, because it's like if you go back and listen to his other Borat, it's almost quote unquote, you know, believable the way the way he's talking. But in this movie, it's kind of so over the top, his accent. It never didn't seem quite right with me.
Well, first thing I had to get over is, who are these people that exist on this planet that don't know who Borat is?
Which I think that was the point of him having to go and get all these disguises, so they would like...
Yeah, but there's still plenty of scenes where he's like, Borat.
Yeah.
And like, I just couldn't get past... So that just made my mind just go, okay, are they in on it? Because like, how could they not know who Borat is?
Yeah, man, I think there were a lot of people. I remember one of the scene at the debutante ball, when the one debutante whispers something to her dad. I was just like, yeah, man, that was totally staged, or she was in on it, or she knows what's going on.
Yeah, so I read that how they got that all together was they just put out a calling for people to go, daughters and fathers and daughters, we're filming, we want you to come dressed in your best, and we'll pay you each $100 to, you know, come to this mansion. So it wasn't really a debutante thing.
Right.
And so, you know, again, it just seemed like a lot of gags were just all involved cutaway shots of people shaking their heads a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, which I don't like.
I just thought the first one just kind of went for clever. Like, just think how funny, like in the first one, the comedy coach was, like how funny that gag unrolls, where it's just simple, you know, it's just simple and it's just silly. Here was just like all, okay, just the like crude, like surpassed just clever.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the setup that they had before when he had to go around and interview people. And here, when he interviewed people, it just kind of, it looked staged and just not.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay, I'm in a bathroom stall screaming, and the payoff to that bit is we cut away to someone at the urinal shaking their head.
Yeah, I know. I actually kind of enjoy that bit though, with the baby, like when they went behind the dumpster to eat the cupcake with the baby on it, and I was like, where is this going? And I thought the payoff was worth it. I thought
that's what opinions are for, to have them.
Yes.
But I laughed at the end when they had the running of the Americans.
I did. I actually laughed out loud at that. That was really good. That was like, okay, you guys got me on that one.
But I think, you know, what we're talking about, like how the direction was different. Like, remember in the original Borat, when him and who was his sidekick in that one?
Just Autumn, or it was just his boss or his producer.
Yeah, remember when they ran naked into that conference?
That was just like,
So you see that just big wide shot, you know? So there's just no doubt that that they're running naked and wrestling in that room. We're here, like when he's at the Mike Pence rally, it was just all kind of like all the cutaways seem, you know, disconnected to what the action was, which makes me think that it was just, they're using the cutaway shots to save kind of the impact of what it actually produced when it happened live.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was definitely, the other thing is, I think there was definitely some lack of physical comedy in here. Like, we mentioned how Sacha Baron Cohen went to that clown school, and he does have a lot of physical comedy training. And I think that comes with, like, Borat is a lot of the Borat stuff is really physical comedy. It's really funny, like when he's trying to use those exercise machine, or when he's trying to do anything kind of physical, it's hilarious. He does it in a great way, which is, there was none of that in here.
Was that in the first one or on the TV show when he's in the thrift store and he just starts bumping into things and knocking them over and breaking them?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that might have been in the TV show. I'm thinking of more. I'm thinking also like in the introduction to the TV shows when he's in the gym and he's trying to work out.
Yeah, so anyway, at one time, the country of Kazakhstan frowned on the portrayal of Borat and how he portrayed Kazakhstan. Like, you know, it's like, here's the running of the rapist or whatever, yeah. You know. But now it's gone full circle where Kazakhstan has now taken on as its tourist motto, it's nice.
Very nice.
Oh, is that okay?
No, I'm not joking. They seriously have. Okay. So, and again, it's like awesome, you kind of got to embrace what's kind of made your country famous.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
So how about that one? They could use that one. I could be there.
You can't go wrong, Kazakhstan.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, the one thing I was going to say, speaking of Kazakhstan, so I actually, because I'm a bit of a, I don't know if our Comedy History 101 listeners out there know, I'm a bit of a socialist modernism and a brutalist architecture fan, and I'm 99% sure there's some shots in the movie when they show the Kazakhstan Ministry of Culture or whatever it is, right. It's like an exterior shot of this big, huge building. I think that might be of a real building in Kazakhstan.
Oh, really?
I think that it's like the big, big, huge building with all these columns out in front. I think that might be a real one. I will go semi on record as saying that.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
So, Scott, I guess, what is your takeaway of the new Borat movie and how it reflects on the Trump pandemic era, which we're living in at this current moment?
Mild thumbs up. They did a pretty interesting job of actually bringing in the COVID stuff and the Trump stuff, which I didn't think was going to happen. So
yeah, do you think they started like filming it pre-COVID and then COVID happened and they had to sort of shut down production?
I think
so. They worked it into the storyline.
Yeah, here's the thing that I noticed, because like, the first part is they filmed the whole first part in Texas, like in around mm-hmm. Houston and Galveston. And I notice with the car he's driving at the beginning is a Texas car, and it has a Texas inspection sticker on it. And the inspection sticker says August of 2020, which means, they got the inspection. The car had the inspection sticker in August of 2019. So they were probably filming this at least at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020.
COVID happened, and yep. Then that worked it into the storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one note. Think about the part where he's like staying with the two guys and hitting the wall with frying pans. Like,
yeah,
kind of how unfunny that was.
Yeah, that part was just weird. It's like, why are those two dudes living together? That was like, that was never really addressed. But then they were totally there. Those guys were like actors or something. Because remember at the end, like when mm-hmm. they're doing he's singing the song on stage and they're like, let's go get his daughter. I mean, they were totally, they were actors or
well, they prime them to, feed them, just to move things along. You know, but again, it's like, it's not, if you tend to think that it's like, 100% improvised and that's dictating the action, that's obviously not the case because,
right.
If you're the producer or whatever, you're kind of directing people to fulfill the story arc.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, I have a curious feeling about those guys is all I'm going to say. I'll leave it at that.
Hear. So anyways, I think, it wasn't as good as the first one, but it satisfied, kind of this pandemic era watching need, I guess. Is that?
Yeah, it was better. I was actually, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Hear. And I guess that concludes our history of the Sacha Baron Borat origin story, along with our take of the current Borat sequel. And with that, it's time for what, Scott? Listener mail.
A listener mail. Okay, what do we got, Harmon? What do we got?
Oh, Scott, this is very interesting listener mail.
Okay, what do you got?
It is from Dr. Barry Lubitkin, and he writes, "Hi, Harmon. I enjoyed your recent podcast on the Comedy Store strike. I am Steve Lubitkin's brother. I was mentioned often in the book I'm Dying Up Here. I have a copy of his film, Dante Sciacco. When this COVID mess is over, I would love to screen it somewhere. If you have time, I'd like to get your suggestions from you about how to go about that. You treated his memory decently on your show. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Barry Lubitkin." Which is nice, because as we mentioned in the Comedy Store Strike episode, and also on our episode on the Comedy Store Condo, Steve Lubitkin was a troubled comedian who ended up taking his life during the Comedy Store strike, which is a very sad story, but also kind of really a milestone pinnacle moment in the history of comedy, which you can find out more on our past episode on the history of the Comedy Store strike.
Hear, hear. Yes, all four. Yeah, so we'll try to get him on the show, the doctor on the show one day, to maybe soon if he's out there. We're going to reach out to you, doctor.
Yeah, and I'd like to check out Dante Sciacco, too, because that's the thing is we only know Steve Lubitkin, well, the incident which happened during the Comedy Store strike, but we really know nothing about his comedy. And, you know, again, he was good enough to be booked on The Tonight Show, which his appearance got canceled, which, you know, said about, you know, part of his troubles. But we know nothing really about him as a stand-up, and there's really no footage out there at all. Of him.
Maybe Dr. Barry will help us out.
Yes. And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, Harmon, I think we both have something to plug that we should plug away, first of all.
Go ahead, my friend.
Well, Harmon and I, have you ever wanted to support Comedy History 101? Well, now you can with our brand new new Patreon page. Yes, we are on Patreon, Comedy History 101. We're just getting the ball rolling here, so we're going to go set up all sorts of freebies and goodies for those of you who are supporting us. So it's a work in progress, but right now you can support Comedy History 101 for as little as $1 a month, Harmon. $1 a month. That's like four video games back in the 80s.
that's like a cup of coffee back in 2001.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably not even in 2001. That's like we're talking back to like in the night. For some reason, I know that like in the 1930s, a cup of coffee was like a dime. So that'd be like 10 cups of coffee back in the
And they called it a cup of Joe back then.
Cup of Joe, and you get a slice of pie with it. But anyway, yeah, so our comedy, it's over at patreon.com/CH101. That's correct, Harmon?
Yes.
Yes, so head on over there. Be sure you can support us. Say hi to us. Drop us a line. We'll have lots of goodies in there for all the supporters out there. But for right now, we're getting the ball rolling. We'd love to have you support. So that's Comedy History 101 over at Patreon, and you can support us that way.
Hear. And I support what Scott just said.
Okay, thank you. You endorse it. As for other endeavors, I have a YouTube channel called This Is the President, where Harmon sometimes gets host, but we do comedy podcasts. Oh, it's not comedy podcasts. We do podcasts about presidential history. But on the YouTube channel, you can find all our videos right now. We just put up a video about President Reagan talking about drone technology back in 1983. So that's kind of interesting. Also, President Reagan talks about Space Invaders, so that's always good to see. So that's This Is the President. You can find us over at YouTube if you just go to youtube.com/thisisthepresident. You can find us there.
Hear. And what I have to plug is tonight, this very night, Friday, October 30th, depending on if I edit this in time, I'll be live streaming my show The Muff, a parody show of The Moth. Yes, everyone's favorite storytelling show they love to hate. We'll be satirizing that at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/comedyhistory101. And next Thursday, November 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll also be live streaming my show, Jokey Okey, stand-up comedy karaoke in a three-round game show. And of course, you can check that out on twitch.tv/comedyhistory101. And with that, thanks a lot.
Hold on. We should tell, I mean, if we don't get it out today or even tomorrow, that's fine. But we should remind our viewers out there to go vote.
Oh, yeah. Go vote, people. This is the... Yeah. Holy fuck. I forgot. This is the last episode before possibly the apocalypse. The end of democracy as we know it. So, yes, that's a very important thing to mention. And I'll mention this up front when I do the cold opening. Get out there and vote, people. we're tired. We're tired. Please.
But then also you're saying they're going to vote for the right the candidate. So, but we don't.
Are we endorsing
anybody, Harmon?
Yeah. We're voting. We're endorsing who isn't Orange Fuck Pants.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Go vote, people. Go vote. And with that, thanks a lot for tuning in, and see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.